Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Are We Even Doing? And I'll tell you what we're even doing. We're messing up. I scheduled my job interview directly on the hour that we have to record per week. I don't know if we really hammered home just how, like, strapped for time we are as far as when we all overlap and when we can actually record. But it's pretty awful. However, I'm putting out a free Patreon thing this week, just as like a little, just kind of bonus thing. But the most important part, the job interview. It went very, very well, and if all goes to plan, we will have so many hours in the week that we are able to record that this shit won't happen ever again. And I do apologize that it happened to begin with, because we've talked about wanting to do Patreon stuff and more Patreon stuff, obviously. So, and we have just continued to do less and less and less because of the time. But new job, it's going to be day shift, so regardless, there will be time to record. And I apologize that this has happened this week, but just give it a couple weeks. I'll be settled in on the new job, and I think we'll be able to figure everything out and be back to actually doing What Are We Even Doing. But as of right now, it's just really, really stressful to try to get this all to line up. But enough of me rambling. Should be fixed relatively soon. And meanwhile, enjoy What Are We Even Viewing?
Just like Siskel and Ebert at the movies, we're back with another episode of What Are We Even Viewing Here? But also...
Oh.
This episode of What Are We Even Viewing Here is filmed in front of a live studio audience. Theme from Night Court.
But also...
Y'all motherfuckers like Matlock?
That's also like kind of a slight remix.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like the bass is hitting very hard.
It's very good.
Yeah, it's a complete hip-hop remix. And it's faster, it's higher pitch.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Because when I think Matlock, I think hip-hop.
Yeah, of course.
Bucky used the Matlock theme at Freelance for a while.
For real?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
When I was there in January, he was in the scramble with me. And he was like, I'm coming out to the Matlock theme song tonight. And it was awesome.
That sounds incredible. Thank you. Good on you for remembering it was What Are We Even Viewing?
Yes. I remember that in the moment, too. Mine that I played was the actual theme to Siskel and Ebert at the movies.
You played the whole fucking
it's
thing.
36 seconds.
Dude, it felt like 4 minutes.
It really
it
did.
It was very long.
to a point where you guys are giving me the
Connor and I were silently losing our minds at each other.
I quickly checked and it was at 25, so it's like, we only got 9 seconds left, come on.
Do you remember that?
Oh my god, we were almost there.
Yeah.
It was unbearable.
Do you remember when I played the entirety of Imminent Danger on the,
yes.
the podcast?
Yes. Before we get any further, let's ring this bad
Please.
Boy.
Oh,
this.
I don't have a... That's fine.
Rip it. Boing!
I gotta stop biting my fingernails so much.
Where do you bite them, at your desk or in the shower?
Everywhere.
I was like, why are you biting them? And then I was like, oh, I used to put my fingers or my nails all the time, and my grandma used to yell at me. She was going to glue mittens to my hands.
We are gathered here today. I don't know why that's where I went with it.
Moving over.
A movie viewing experience.
Yes. A rare group viewing, too.
Yeah, this was actually very nice. It was really nice. Because, like, the past couple of movie reviews, you and I have seen the thing separately.
Right.
And then are coming together. But this one, we saw it together, and we did talk a fair bit about it, but I feel like we can really dive into it here.
Yeah, big time. Folks, we're here today to talk about The Iron Claw. Long-hyped, long-awaited professional wrestling movie about just a real upstanding gentleman by the name of Fritz.
Yeah.
Loved his kids.
Yeah.
He was a devoted father and husband.
We saw The Iron Claw last week, a week ago today, actually, I think, right?
Yeah.
Which would have been opening weekend. And it was the three of us, Tom, Connor, Braden, and Florida Man, seeing it here in Peru.
The Florida Man.
I will say, before we get to the actual film, overall just a great experience. Always fun to hang out with the guys.
Yeah.
Get to the theater.
There was only one other person in there, so we were kind of chit-chatting at each other throughout.
It was an optimal, like, viewing experience.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
We were just three dudes shitting around.
We were just, you know, shitting around.
Shitting around.
And the theater served beers.
So, this is something that I do bring up. So, we get to the theater, and one of the employees was, in a fun way, what I'm going to call a sassy broad. And she seemed to be training some other new employees that were very much like, where is this at on the register, like, the menu, this blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Which is totally fine. You know, whatever. So, you guys get your tickets and goods, and you got a couple of beers. And I realized at this point that, like, I've been going to this theater for ages, and I've actually never bought a beer there.
And also, at this point, I am catastrophically high.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had a gummy on my way out the door. It hit me pretty quick. Was into the pen. Was into some cans already. But, so from my point of view, you guys get your stuff, and you go in. And I see Connor with these beers, and I'm like, you know what? Why not? I will happily, finally, have a beer while I'm watching a movie here. And I'm buying Bailey's ticket for, like, his Christmas gift. And I asked the girl that was working the register, I go, two for Iron Claw. She goes, okay, anything else? And I go, this will sound like a joke, but I'm being sincere. How many beers can you sell me? And the sassy trainer girl was kind of a step or two off to the side doing something else. And she goes, she can't sell you any. And not in a rude way, just I'm sure that, like, this girl is probably underage or whatever the rules are. And I go, oh, okay. Well, then let me ask you my question. How many beers can you sell me? And she goes, I have my own limit at two. And I go, two per person or, like, per transaction? She goes, per transaction or whatever. I go, okay. So I'm going to get two beers, and I'm buying my friend's ticket, so he's going to get two beers as well. Bailey, who I think is actually not drinking right now,
no,
goes to stop me, and he goes, Tom, you don't got it. And I just look at him and just go, no, Bailey, it's cool. I got this.
Yeah.
So they bring us four Miller Lite tall boys. I give two to Bailey. He gets his popcorn and snacks and whatnot. We come walking into the theater, sit down with you guys. He immediately hands me those beers. So I now have one in each cup holder on either side and two on the floor directly in front of me.
Yeah. And he walked in with, like, a popcorn bucket and a soda in one hand, and then beers in the other.
Yeah. Mozzarella sticks, too, if I recall. Oh, man, it was fucking great.
I spent, like, $50 at that AMC.
I bet mine was... I had two tickets and four beers. I might have spent $100.
You might have.
We did that at the one in...
Naperville? Or... East
Tinley Park-ish.
Yeah.
Where we got, like, you got chicken tenders.
Yeah.
And I got pretzels. Because what did we go to? Godzilla?
Would have been Godzilla or when we saw the Dark Tower.
One of the two, yeah.
So.
Big day.
You guys want to... Connor, you're a guest.
Yeah.
take us through a brief synopsis of the Iron Claw on the infinitely not possible chance that someone is listening to this podcast and doesn't know.
Yeah, this particular show on this particular Patreon.
If you have somehow found a sub-show from a show that is about wrestling, and we are covering a movie that is about wrestling, and this is your first exposure to that film, how?
Also, isn't this on a platform you have to pay for?
Yeah, that too.
So we've jumped all those hurdles to get here and be like, I don't think I like wrestling.
Oh, for them to be like, what's the Iron Claw?
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. Taker just set on Snitsky there.
Anyways, it's a Royal Rumble Connor, match.
Yeah. Connor, give us a...
Yeah, okay, so the Iron Claw, it is a movie about the Von Erichs family, the famed family in wrestling.
Most
Von
of them. Erichs.
Well, most of it. Fuck you, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you
cut
okay?
out of the whole thing, huh?
Are you making sure that the light is coming on?
yeah, I think it needs to be charged.
So, yeah, it's about the Von Erich family. It is a story basically telling from, the cold open is Fritz Von Erich, so you, like, get an understanding of who Fritz is, and then takes
that,
us to...
The opening...
I was going to say, the opening couple shots of that movie, for me, this is going to sound weird, might have been my favorite part.
It was just, it was very, very artistically done.
The visuals
were fucking
incredible.
It gave me chills. Like,
yeah, it was very well done.
It almost made me wish the whole movie had been black and white.
Mm. Ooh.
And I bet...
I don't know, though.
There was stuff that I don't think would have worked as well, but like,
yeah.
If
maybe
it had all been
maybe
black
everything
and white,
in the ring.
Yeah, that would have been a really cool concept. If every time that it was during a match or in ring, it just was black and white. That could have been fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm sorry. Go on, Connor.
Yes. So, basically talking about the story of the Von Erich family. If you know anything about the Von Erichs, it's a very tragic story. But this film talks about the rise of Carrie, Kevin, David, and Mike Von Erich. The rise and
all sons of...
downfall. The sons of Fritz Von Erich. working in Texas in the world-class championship wrestling territory, which becomes a booming territory under Von Erichs. Anyway, whatever. People die. It gets real fucking sad.
Tragedy befalls the Von Erich family for a long time.
But ultimately, it's a movie about family and, like, relationships between brothers and things like that. And... yeah, that's the Iron Claw, dude.
Well then, okay, let's... So I think that, like, one of the first things that you gotta discuss if you're gonna talk about this is historical inaccuracies, let's call them.
Sure.
I feel like if you're going into a movie that is based on a true story, you kinda gotta accept that, like, it's not going to just be the true story. Like, this is not a documentary. This is not Dark Side of the Ring. This is not an HBO drama series. So I know that there's a shit ton of stuff that got changed, but I'm fine with it because I'm not watching just, you know, like I said, a documentary about the Von Erichs. I'm sure that I can, you know?
Yeah, there's a Dark Side on the Ring episode.
Oh, yeah.
And there's also, I believe that there is a very good documentary called The Last of the Von Erichs.
Last of the Von Erichs, yeah, that's one. They talk about it a lot on... there was a WWE release DVD about World Class that I used to have.
I almost watched it the other day
because
I was looking at World Class Championship Wrestling on the Peacock just to see what they had on there. And I saw that documentary and I was like...
It's also like... One of the things I like about this movie and movies like this is it is so fun to just see wrestling from a different time period and like... try to envision that that's what it was.
Yeah.
And put yourself in that mindset.
Yeah.
That's not just like actual match footage, you know, or through a different lens documentary that makes everything seem like it was fucking sunshine and rainbows, you know, but, Fritz Von Erich though, just the,
real
charmer.
Fritz Von Erich is maybe the greatest heel in all of cinema. They portray him, and on it, from what I've heard, they left a lot of stuff out about Fritz that was just fucking unforgivable.
Yeah. Like, what I do know is his relationship with Mike was much, much, much worse than what is depicted in the film.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, he was just relentlessly shitty to that kid. But, like, it's so weirdly fascinating, though, to think that, like, Fritz von Erich was a big deal, by the way. He was a big deal for the NWA.
Yeah.
He made World Class a big fucking deal. Like,
yeah.
It's weird to say, like, they sold out the Sportatorium, like, every however many shows in a row. And, like, weren't they at one point, were they doing monthly they shows or was it weekly?
Weekly. They were running weekly
at
TV.
At the Sportatorium?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I had that right, but I wasn't sure.
They were doing TV out of the Sportatorium.
Yeah.
Internationally.
Imagine selling out the same venue it week apart from each other.
That's
constantly.
Yeah.
Like, I had this talk with, I think it was with you and Bailey afterwards, mm-hmm. where I was like, imagine an alternate universe where Fritz von Erich is just less of an asshole. Doesn't have to be full, like, a different person, but just less of an asshole. And now we would be living in a 2023 with three or four major pro wrestling companies if World Class hadn't fucking folded. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because that would have been late 80s.
Yep.
So Jim Crockett Promotions, or the NWA, is about to become WCW. So we could have, in theory, if this tragedy hadn't befell the family, in the 90s would have had WWF, WCW, and World Class.
And then ECW.
And then ECW would have come along, and then ultimately, like, TNA.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what an incredibly strange fucking universe that must be. Anyways.
Wouldn't it be cool to just be able to just, as an observer, just hop between alternate realities and just look around? That'd be crazy.
Drop in on one and just be like, hey, Fritz, quit being a fucking asshole to your kids. There was a couple of these, but there was one moment in particular in the theater.
Oh, yeah.
With you guys where when they're having like a dinner scene or something, they're all at the table. And Fritz, in front of the entire family, just casually says, well, we all know Kevin's my favorite. Followed by Carrie, Dave, and then Mike. And just literally lists his favoritism amongst his children in front of them while eating. And just as smooth and casual as can be.
But and the rankings can always change.
Oh, yes, yeah. that's the rankings can always change. But in that moment, I remember all four of us just kind of like slightly leaning forward, briefly looking at each other, just going, God damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he's just an unrelenting
That's
dickhead.
Like at the beginning of the movie, too.
Kerry Von Erich wins the Intercontinental title with one foot, and then Fritz is like,
oh, what is it? He totally, like, backhandedly buries him.
Yeah, so
like,
now when...
Second biggest belt in the game!
Yeah. But now then, when you're bringing home the world title.
Right!
But then, when he's, like, when they're watching him on the television, he's like, trying to bury Kevin, because he's not Carrie, to Kevin's kids.
Yeah!
He's like, yeah, look at your uncle. Look at your uncle. Look how cool he is. He didn't actually say that, but that's what he's implying.
Yeah,
like,
out there making big money, Intercontinental Champion, blah, blah, blah. Not like your idiot dad.
Yeah, like, that's basically what he's saying.
Yeah.
How about Zac Efron showing off that very lean, all-natural biker's body?
He is gargantuan.
Dude, he is... It's almost pornographic in detail. Like, he is unbelievably jacked.
I remember so clearly everyone having some sort of audible reaction when the very first time we see him, when he's waking up and gets out of bed, and we were all like, Jesus,
right?
Something.
It's weird too that like we had that reaction, and then 12 Gauge saw it, and he brought up on his own volition, Zac Efron getting out of bed made him look like a freakish, like, a different species.
Yes!
Yeah.
It really does.
He's somehow 800 pounds heavier than he was in High School Musical.
Yeah.
It's all muscle and veins and stripes. Like, he also, he is so big that he looks like he is flexing during this entire movie when he is just standing there talking to someone.
He, like, his striations just move kind of on their own. Like,
it's like seeing an animal under sand.
It's
like the old Bugs Bunny bit where he was digging to get to places. It, like, there's parts where his veins are moving under his skin like that. But he is just living his life. He's not even in the ring, like...
I don't believe the costume designer picked 70s short-style shorts. Those are full-size shorts on him. But they just are that... They are just that high on the thigh.
He's... Like, there's also a scene of him, like, benching, and it's, like, him repping it out till failure, and it's such a close shot.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily, like, on his face, but it's his face and, like, his shoulder and his neck.
Yeah.
And you can just see his, like, fucking pectoral tendons, like, flexing and it's very visceral.
I remember that was,
like... if you Google... Cary Von Erich huge.
Yeah.
That's what he looks like, even though he's playing Kevin.
He looks like if Kevin Von Erich was an anime character.
Yes.
Like, you know how they draw them to just have those incredibly...
Oh my god, that's exactly correct.
Like, and I remember when this movie was in, like, production, the first image that you saw was, check out Zac Efron on set of The Iron Claw.
That doesn't do it justice.
It doesn't.
No.
And he looked like a different person then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the hair is a choice. I said he looks to me like Lou Ferrigno in the old Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, he is. If you want to know what Zac Efron looks like, he looks like the Hulk. Like the 1970s TV Hulk.
Yeah. It's the similar haircut. He has his neck is bigger.
Yes.
Like, I don't know how you train that. And like Jeremy Allen White, who plays Carrie, he is jacked as shit, too. He just looks like a very jacked person.
Yeah, yeah.
Zac Efron looks like a tombstone has come to life. And it's just,
it is truthfully like...
a door of a man.
It's the best physique that money can buy.
Yeah. But, and then, I'm not familiar with the actor that played David.
Me neither.
I'm not either.
But he... looks fine, but he looks like David Von Erich.
He looks incredibly like David.
Yeah. I thought the casting for this whole thing was pretty spot on, except for, like...
a big one.
One that I'm gonna... I think we're all gonna rant
about. Chavo Guerrero as the Iron Sheik.
Yeah.
You know what?
Fine with it.
Yeah, it looked good.
Yeah.
There was a handful of cameos from actual wrestlers in this. I only caught, like, two or three. The Chavo one was one. I did see MJF for what seemed to be a few seconds, I guess. And I noticed Thrill Billy Cyrus Mason was Terry Gordy.
Oh.
When they show... there's a one scene where they have an actual... like, one of the six-mans for
the Freebirds and the Von Erichs. Yeah.
And I caught Cyrus Mason as Terry Gordy.
Hmm.
Ryan Nemeth was Gino Hernandez.
Okay, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
MJF was Lance Von Erich.
Yeah,
during
the fake Von Erich.
Which is hilarious.
Was Peter Avalon in this, then, too?
Maybe. I didn't
see his face, and I feel like he's got one of the
Who was Gino Hernandez's partner? Someone was playing Bruiser Brody.
I don't know who that was either. That guy actually looked like a wrestler.
Yeah.
He looked like...
that scene when they're calling it in the back, dude.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's awesome.
Using that as a jumping off point.
Yeah, because I think we're...
You and I had a very similar... Yeah, what the fuck. This movie, to me, can't decide if it's portraying wrestling as being a shoot or a work, and I wish it had just done one or the other.
Yeah.
Because there's a... Or maybe it's just Fritz... It's mostly Fritz. Maybe it's Fritz being a fucking maniac.
It is. That's the whole thing. Whenever Fritz is talking about
wrestling...
And I just didn't
pick up on it until this exact moment.
Whenever Fritz is talking about wrestling...
Yeah.
That's a shoot, dude. Whenever the Von Erichs talk, like, whenever the brothers talk about wrestling, they're always like,
because there's multiple scenes of them calling matches in the
back. Yeah. And they're like, is that okay? Like, you cool? Yeah. Like, they're very cooperative.
Okay, shit. If this is what it is, then something just made a lot more sense to me.
The opening monologue from Fritz, where he talks about how the championship is a reward for being the best.
Also, most of Fritz's dialogue about wrestling makes more sense if that's, just his own psychosis. When Kevin has the match with Harley Race.
Yeah.
And is it... Yeah, it's Harley Race. Suplexes him on the floor.
Yeah.
And he, like, has a stinger. Great scene. Like, awesome fucking performance.
It makes a countout look realistic.
Yeah. And I remember Bailey just being like, is he fucking paralyzed? And I was like, I know that he's not, you know, because I know at least that much of the story. But then I thought, maybe I'm getting this conflated with something else. Wasn't there a case like that where Kevin, I thought, had a really bad fucking stinger in a match or something?
Could be. I don't know. I don't know enough about the Von Erichs, really.
Yeah, me neither. Which was a kind of the fun of watching
this. The thing that really bothered me about, like pick... The scene that jumps out to me when I think of, like, pick whether or not it's real or not... is the exchange after the match with Harley Race, I think, where he's like, you were slow getting up to your feet, son.
Yeah.
And he says, I've just never hit the floor that hard before.
Right.
In real life, that would have, his response would have been like, well, that was the spot, Dad.
Right.
Yeah, like,
I think,
that's okay. Where I'm like, what's the
good
fucking...
point. But I think that it adds to the idea that Fritz thinks that it's real in that scene because he said Kevin then does say he wasn't supposed to throw me outside.
Yeah.
And Fritz just bulldozes over it.
As someone who has recently received a just uncalled for floor bump on the outside from someone who is much higher in status than them, it knocks the breath out of you, what the fuck? But also, to Fritz's point, Kevin getting up slow from that makes him look weaker. It's still real to the audience.
Right.
It's still real to the people booking it, you know? Like, you have to in those times, you had to present yourself as tough. Like, again, you're not calling shit.
The sympathetic babyface hadn't gone to, like, what it is now.
Yeah.
Because I understand that. At that point, most crowds, they just want to see the good guys kick ass.
Exactly.
But I thought that the idea, adding to the idea that Fritz thinks that it's fucking real, I thought your point from that scene was going to be when he says he wasn't supposed to throw me out. So it's like, okay, even Kevin is trying to say, hey, Dad, here's why I got up slow. Yeah. I thought I was fucking paralyzed. That wasn't part of the plan. The guy's just fucking doing shit. And Fritz is like, oh, you got to be ready for whatever.
That's how they test you.
Is that what it was?
That's what he said.
But, yeah, I don't know. I didn't quite get it, but I think... I need to rewatch it also.
I do too. I do too.
Because I think that there's a lot more discussions to have with this on a rewatch.
Oh, 100%.
I did really, really like the scene between Kevin and... what was the girlfriend's name? Pam,
yeah. Pam.
When she says, you know, well, it's all fake, right? And I was like... Good. I'm glad that we're acknowledging that even fans back then, like, knew. But his monologue afterwards, I wish I could remember better, but I really fucking enjoyed it.
Yeah.
He describes the championship as a job promotion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You still have to perform.
Right.
It's still a performance. You still get rewarded for being the best performer. You get you have the most fans behind you. That's still, like, that stuff's organic. So you have to work for that stuff. You still have to do the best job you can, and that championship is a job promotion. I'm like, that's such a good, perfect way to put that.
I agree. And that speech starts with him saying, there's nothing fake about what we do. And I thought that was Zac Efron's best, like, acting moment in the movie until right at the very
beginning. Okay, yeah.
Because I'm not that familiar with Zac Efron, but I just think that he's, like, a great actor. But
he's not known for being, like, a particularly great actor.
Doesn't he usually only play an idiot with abs?
Mostly, yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah!
He mostly just like the way that you phrase that. Or, like, a hot guy.
Right. Jeremy Allen White, star of The Bear.
He's a fantastic fucking actor.
Yeah,
I'm
he is.
A huge fan.
He's really so fucking good.
I think that's why they had him play Carrie versus Zac Efron, because Zac Efron kind of looks more like Carrie, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And, like, Jeremy Allen White would have been just teetotally fine as Kevin.
Right.
Yeah.
But he gives such an emotional fucking, like, grit to Carrie.
There was something interesting about him, too, in this, that, like, he's not there until the Olympics basically get canceled. And then, in essence, comes home looking to just do something.
Mm-hmm.
Ends up getting in the ring, is one of the best Von Erichs, you know. And this is all before they really fucking take off, because Six Man's, you know, hadn't started happening yet with the Freebirds. Obviously, he was still years away from getting signed to the Fed, blah, 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 blah. But, like, it was interesting to see, like, oh, well, he's left. He has, in essence, seen, like, more of the world.
Yeah.
The other guys have, in essence, lived on this farm and wrestled at the sportatorium since they have been alive. And Carrie being the only one that has, in essence, gone out a bit. I thought when he's initially back at the farm and Fritz comes walking up to him to talk or whatever, I almost thought he sells it like, God, that's the moment where I don't want to be here. Like, he seems very happy to be home and with his brothers, and then the moment Fritz starts walking up to him, he just kind of goes...
He does get a little, like, serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, we, is when that Fritz... when he asks him to join wrestling?
Yeah.
Because I love his reaction to
yeah.
it. Absolutely, Dad. I love that.
Yeah.
I fucking... That gets me so hyped because...
Yeah, because they see, love it.
Genuinely, he wants that because once Fritz leaves... They're like, let's go, boys!
Yeah.
Come on, like, join in the ring.
This movie does such a great job of showing how much the brothers actually cared about each other
right.
and loved each other, and how much Fritz is directly responsible for all of their deaths.
Yeah, and like, okay, this is also, I feel, worth pointing out. I did see a thing on the old social medias. That one, Medusa,
mm-hmm.
or no, it was, I'm sorry, it was Missy Hyatt.
Missy Hyatt, yeah.
Had said that she actually hadn't gone to see the movie yet, something about wasn't sure she was going to.
Yeah.
And she said, part of her reasoning on holding off, at least, is she knows how it depicts Fritz. And she says, I only ever had pleasant dealings with him. He was never anything but, like, kind, supportive, got her job, you know, whatever. It would, and says, it would be strange to see him painted... Or shown, see him shown differently. And I was like, that is interesting. Because I don't think that she's going to be like some sort of truth denier or anything like that. I don't know Missy Hyatt at all.
No.
But so, whatever. But like, the idea of her just being like, man, he was always cool with me. I don't know if I want to watch this movie that shows him for being the monster that I was not aware of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
which, like, you have to wonder, like, again, Fritz made... World class, a pretty huge deal. And you don't do that by being a fucking dickhead to everyone.
Right.
You know? That just doesn't work.
Like, yeah. Somewhere, somehow, Hitler had a good friend.
Yeah.
You know? Like, oh. Yeah, well, I didn't expect that, but you're right.
I just hope that Fritz von Erich died wearing shorts, because hell is real hot all year round.
But yeah, I hope that more of these happen.
I tweeted last night, me and Berna were finishing watching Naruki Doi and Bryan Danielson. And Danielson is cutting this promo about, like, how much he loves independent wrestling and da-da. And I just had the thought of, like, oh man, the inevitable Bryan Danielson biopic that comes out
yes.
is going to be the fucking best.
Yeah.
Because his story writes itself.
I wish that was being made right now, and I would cast Jeremy Allen White to
I would
play
absolutely.
And be like, hey, dog, keep working out, just stay right where you're at, don't yeah.
Do not change a fucking thing, we're gonna get the hair, you know?
Yep. I know that The Bear Season 3 is about to start filming, you wear long sleeves on that, keep the arms, we need you to look like a fucking wrestler more.
Listen, do you like the color maroon? They could call it fucking American Dragon, and it would be... the highest rated film of all time.
So right before we started recording, Braden throws it out, so we can basically discuss this now, even though I think you just gave your answer. A24 is coming out with another wrestling movie.
Bryan Danielson.
Specifically because I said A24, Braden said A24. My answer was Benoit.
I saw a tweet that I think you'll agree with about why that shouldn't happen.
I'm not saying that it should.
There's no way to paint him in a consistent light.
And that movie doesn't have an ending.
No.
Like, the Iron Claw has the ending where it wraps everything up and it's like...
For Kevin.
Well, yeah. People are still dead, but that it's about him dealing with it.
Mm.
The ending of that Benoit movie is that the whole family just dies and then there's nothing else that happens. Like, there is no resolution to any of it.
Have you ever heard Benoit's... Or Heyman's quote to some guy who's trying to, like...
Heckle him at a speaking thing or
yeah.
something.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, that's
and
so good.
So he's like, you keep yelling my boy about Benoit. And he goes, you can respect his body of work. But at the end of the day, 3 people died and 2 people in that just didn't have a choice in that matter.
Yeah.
And I was like, Woof. Macho Man Randy Savage is my answer.
That'd be a great one.
Shit.
Yeah.
See, okay, so initially, you raised good points. So I'll take you through my thought process. Yeah. My gut reaction was Eddie Guerrero, but then I was like, that would be a part of the Benoit one. So you could just lump those two together. So I agree with you, but then you raised good points about the not ending. No, here's so the thing. I'm like, let's go back to Eddie Guerrero.
Have you seen the fantasy booking that they've done on who could play Eddie Guerrero?
Yeah.
Pedro Pascal, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, please, great. Sign me the fuck up. Put him on
Pedro
all of
Pascal
the gas.
Now is older than Eddie was when he died.
Yeah.
Well, that's we've crazy. Got technology. I mean, if we can get De Niro in The Irishman looking like he was 30.
Can you please close the blinds behind you as Matt and Kerr window covering angst? Thank you.
But, okay, so my let me retort to everything you said about the Benoit thing. Excellent points, and you are completely not wrong. Me, sometimes I like movies that are just goddamn devastating.
I know you do.
And if it was the last shot of that movie was just him not... You can't have a shot of him not getting on the plane. Him just walking into that house and the date. I would be fine with it. Like, I don't think it needs to put him over. I don't think it needs to do anything that is not fair. But...
You would have to leave it there. You can't go any further.
No.
You can't show a police car. No. You can't, like... You would have to... It would have to be a movie, then, not necessarily about Benoit.
Right.
But about, like... You would have to stylize it in a way of, like...
It would be the brain trauma. Part two.
Yeah, like, about him, like... It would have to be a lot of him, like, hitting his head and fucking not remembering. Like, it would have to be more of a movie about concussions than about, like, Benoit.
Right.
And I guess kind of in a way, like, how Iron Claw is more about family than it is wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
You'd almost have to end it. Have you ever seen where it's like those, this is the last picture of anybody before they died? It's Benoit, like a doctor's office, and he is just vacant?
Yeah.
You'd almost have to end it on that and just...
The date.
That's it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's still happening or not, but there was supposed to be a Hulk Hogan biopic with Chris Hemsworth playing Hogan.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Apparently there is a Vince...
There's a Vince documentary from Netflix that's supposed to be happening.
I don't care about that.
They aren't showing it to Vince.
Yeah, that's the thing, and he's not involved.
Ooh.
He has no control over it.
Nothing is painting him in a good light, then. There's no way.
We need that to come out.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
Well, when Netflix loses all their money because he has $700 million from selling Endeavor.
Yeah.
So, let's get back to this movie. There's a couple more things I want to touch on. Dakota and I had a really good talk about this movie, and he had one hang-up that I cleared up for him. He was like, he just found the scene where Carrie meets his brothers on the dock after he dies.
Mm-hmm.
He found that weird and jarring.
The scene that is, in essence, them in heaven?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And I was like, it's not him in heaven, it is... Kevin imagining Carrie meeting his brothers and Jack is there. That's the only reason. You know what I mean?
I had this exact conversation with my friend Coy. He hated that scene of them on the dock, the heaven thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, buddy, I don't think that's actual heaven. You know, what he just said. I think that's something that Kevin is doing to try to make some level of peace with himself.
Because it is, he's carrying him.
And
from the tree to he lays him onto the table, then it's the heaven, and it cuts back to Kevin with him on the table.
Yeah.
And it's a shot of Kevin's face. So I'm like, that's him. He's like coming to peace with
and,
that.
And don't they mention, or Kevin mentions at some point before that, like, or maybe it's after that, like going to meet with his brothers in heaven.
Right.
Like, I know we'll all be together again or something like that. Like, one of the brothers says that.
Yeah.
So, like, it's referenced before that scene happens.
I'm pretty sure Carrie says it.
Does Carrie? Yeah. Then
I'm pretty I think sure Carrie says it after Mike dies.
Yeah.
Because Mike is the first. No, David's the first.
David's the first.
Because, which I actually did know that. He got sick in Japan and died.
Oh my god, that fucking scene at the wedding.
Him being sick in that bathroom and there's just blood all over.
Yeah.
I don't think he should go to Japan next week.
Yeah.
And then they just laugh about it and shake hands and like... they were dedicated. Like, you know, they weren't gonna, like, stop each other from... That's the thing, too, is, like, they don't do what you think they're gonna do of, like, the jealousy thing. And, like, oh, I hate...
They don't ever break up, really. No. I think there's only, like, one moment of, like, real tension, and it's not even, like, between them. It's just at the situation. Whenever it's,
on the porch?
Yeah. When Fritz...
Picks Carrie.
Yeah, picks Carrie, yeah.
Oh my fucking god, that scene.
Another fuck you Fritz moment is they are at David's funeral.
Yeah.
And already deciding who's next in line to do whatever. Dude.
Yeah.
The fucking dirt hasn't even been thrown in the hole. Like.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a way for them to just kind of process? Like, you have people where there's funerals, it's just... Okay, well, we've got to do this with Mom's house, or okay, well, we need to do this. And it's not like they're not accepting of the reality.
Again, if that's the case, it's exclusively Fritz, because in the movie, the boys are still very much, they are at the funeral mourning. They are still sad. They're still heads hung low, crying, whatever, and Fritz just walks up and is basically like, enough of that, now, next title match.
So, if Fritz is in what, this is set when, the 70s?
No, 80s.
In the 80s, and Fritz is probably about 50 in this.
Right. He's grown up through some shit.
Yeah.
But...
So it is... People die. And we're on a ranch and a farm. Things die.
Yeah.
We need to talk about Saturday.
The way that they play it in the film just makes him come across as a, like, cartoonish heel.
Sure. Yeah.
Like... I feel like there's still people arriving to the funeral. The service hasn't even started.
I remember that scene taking place at night.
Yeah.
No, they were all sitting out on the porch drinking. So, like, it was winding down.
Yeah.
But it was still, like, you could tell that they were... But it was
the coin toss.
He flips a coin between Kevin and Carrie.
So not only has he raised these fuckers under his thumb and put them through physical hell in training and everything else, but ultimately it's like... Your entire life's work in existence. Ding! For a fucking coin flip.
What's and I the like most... the way that they reveal it. They don't even show the coin land. Yeah. No! It's just, it cuts just to see it. It is Carrie.
Result. Yeah, it's Carrie.
And modern day warrior, mean.
That montage is so fucking good.
I wanted more of that.
Yes.
Like, I know that... For a movie about wrestling, there's not that much wrestling in it.
Because it ain't about the wrestling.
Yeah, I know.
But anyway...
I just wanted a little bit more.
I think it only needed the one.
Mm-hmm.
But more would have been so fucking great.
Yeah. So David is the first one. If I recall correctly, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Via overdose.
Oh my god, that fucking scene, man.
Yeah. Mike is such a... really fucking tragic. I mean, it's all tragic, but man, he's a really tragic one, because I feel like he's being pushed so hard to be one of the Von Erichs in the ring, and honestly, he's like, he should have just played their entrance music.
Yes!
Like,
why not?
He was a very good musician and was like, off being successful as a musician.
When I say this, it's not me obviously propping the man up, because I'm not going to. I think that if Mike had the balls to say, hey, Dad, why don't I play the Von Erichs to the ring live? I actually think Fritz would have gone for that. Because if anything, it would have been good business.
Sure.
But just didn't have the nerve to say, or Fritz would have said, no, fuck you. Only Fruits play instruments. Get in the ring. Like,
Mike didn't want anything to do with wrestling.
Right.
And just wanted to, like, be his own, you know, like...
No, I'm just saying, like, if they were to reach a middle ground on, you know, whatever, it would have been that. But yeah, that whole scene with him, yeah, that was rough. And then Carrie goes. Oh, man. And then, it's not long after that, the movie just kind of ends.
Yeah.
Now, Chris...
Because he fucking... Dex Fritz.
Yeah.
And let's almost be honest, we were all rooting for... We knew it wasn't going to happen, but we were rooting for Zac Efron to kill Fritz Von Erich.
Yeah, I really wanted it.
Like, I left that scene unsatisfied because he didn't beat his ass enough.
They should have gone full alternate timeline and just said, and then Kevin killed Fritz, and nobody pressed charges, so he lived happily ever after.
Everyone kind of got it.
The entire legal system said Fritz was an asshole, so nobody even bet or registered the paperwork.
We didn't even sign a death certificate.
I just kind of stamped it. All right, let's wrap this bad boy up then.
The very, very ending of the movie absolutely crushed me.
Yeah. It's the line of, I'm not even a brother anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Just, yeah. And I mean, I know they try to put kind of a, you know, bow on it at the end by showing Kevin happy with his kids and grandkids and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, for you, it sounded like you mentioned it earlier and thought maybe that was enough. For me, I was like, no, dude, I'm still bummed. Like,
yeah.
Which is fine. You know, I think that's the point of this movie.
But you love that. It's established that you prefer a downer.
I'm so happy when I'm sad.
You wish that Endgame ended with everyone dying again.
Yeah, why not?
I liked the ending because it basically was Kevin's way of saying, like, I am not going to let this happen to you.
Okay.
Like, it's also a reflection on, like, generational trauma. You right. know, like, I'm going to give you the life that I wish I could have had.
And he does, in essence, kind of overcome a thing because there's a, where he truly thinks it's a curse.
Yeah.
And he's saying, like, stay away from me to his wife and child. I don't want him to get it. Like, it's a disease or something. I was like, that's cool. Like, at that point, you probably would think that there's...
Yeah.
Some otherworldly force at work against you and your family, like...
Or even if you don't think it's some otherworldly force, it's still, stay away from me. Like, you right. do not want to get involved with this. Yeah.
There's a video that Dakota sent me that we should absolutely watch after this, like, 10 minutes long. It's like an interview with Fritz and Kevin, and there's more people it says the day after Carrie died.
Oh, it's like a local news thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should absolutely watch that at sure. some point. But, like, at one point, Kevin actually says, I'm not superstitious or anything like that. And, like, oh my God!
You know what usually comes after that? A superstition that you believe
in. Yeah, yeah.
There's, I forget, it's either David or Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the last thing that they filmed... I think it's David. Like, the last thing that he apparently filmed...
Yeah.
Like, wrestling-wise... Like, the last time he was ever on tape was, like, him doing, like, promo segments, like, in a graveyard or something.
Mm.
And then he was dead, like, weeks later.
Damn.
There's some, like, weird shit.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
weird little details. They didn't include the Carrie Von Erich cheeseburger scene, which I was upset about.
They also very much over-exaggerated how much of his body he lost in the motorcycle accident.
Did they?
They did. It was, in essence, he still had an ankle.
Okay.
So, like, he would have had, like, past the ankle and, like, in that, like a nub, I guess you'd call it, maybe a heel.
Yeah.
Like, most of his foot was gone. This movie, it takes it, like, pretty much up to, like, his calf.
Yeah.
Also, for me, other personal favorite scenes... Him putting that boot on and then just trying to run and being clearly in unbelievable agony. But still doing it.
Yeah.
Like, because there's a bit where it sounds like he's going to yell fuck, and then it isn't. It's not even a word.
Yeah.
He's just yelling into, like, the ground, basically, like, bent over at the knees because he's in so much pain. And I was like, this is just, and then he just... And just gets right back to...
There's your painkillers.
Like, and he's also, like... It's not just that he's in pain, too. It's also he's, like, so upset that his body won't let him just fucking do it.
Like, dude, you were an Olympian.
Yeah.
And then you were world champion.
Yeah.
And then now, like, that's... You're absolutely right. Like, that's just a fucking hard, hard fucking pill to swallow, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
one of my favorite things
about... horrific pun intended, but...
One of my favorite things about watching this movie with you specifically is because you know a little bit more about this story than I did going into this.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a scene where Carrie buys the motorcycle, and I just hear you go, oh, God.
Yeah.
And I didn't even, like, I don't know.
Right.
So I love that. And there were several moments because
at that point, he's,
that.
Like, firing on all cylinders, you know.
Yeah.
Carrie Von Erich, we're tearing it up, fucking all this money, blah, 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 and treats himself to this Very nice looking, brand new in the 80s motorcycle, but yeah, just, I had that, oh my god. Because it'd be the thing of, like, in this fictional Benoit movie, if he were to be like, yeah, I bought a Bowflex, you know, like, you know.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, no.
You know what's coming.
You're like, I love the idea of I want the line to be exactly, oh, I bought a Bowflex.
For some reason, in this one scene, Benoit is channeling Homer Simpson and just kicks the door to his own house in. I bought a Bowflex, Nancy!
I want it to be, he's just up late one night watching TV, and there's an infomercial for a Bowflex.
Just looks at the TV in the infomercial, looks over at just an open corner of the room, looks back at the TV, back at the corner, back at the TV, back at the corner.
It's just a shot of him, like, from behind, like, the side of his face is lit by the front of his face is lit by the TV, but you can see the side of it, and he's just staring blankly in the TV. It's a Bowflex ad, and slowly, you just hear, the score is like,
yeah.
This summer, nothing can protect you.
Oh my god!
A24%. No.
It's a Chris Benoit slasher film.
Jesus, god.
Oh no.
No. Now we've gone.
We've gone way too far.
Freddy versus Jason versus.
I don't know. We're over a decade. Freddy versus Jason versus Benoit?
You thought Mania 20 was a triple threat.
Freddy versus Jason versus Chris.
You know what could be cool too?
Fred, Jason, and Chris?
Okay. You know what could be fun as an A24 movie?
Yeah.
ECW.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just ECW in its heyday.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That would be awesome.
Who plays Heyman?
Paul Giamatti. My man.
That's absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
I'm impressed by the speed on that.
Yeah, it has to be. It's Paul Giamatti or
something. Yeah. Yeah.
He's not getting made.
Yeah. Yeah. That movie. Money's off the table if it ain't Paul Giamatti.
Right? That's all I'm saying. Two Pauls, Paulruses.
Oh man, you gotta learn about wrestling now. You're in over your head, PG. the idea that Paul Giamatti refers to himself as PG.
PG, you got yourself into a big
Peach. Peach. I'm in this new movie. They got me trying to say.
Is that your Paul Giamatti?
Yeah, it's also my Morty from Rick and Morty.
Oh, jeez, Rick, they got me in this movie about wrestling in Philadelphia, and I don't quite know what to do.
I don't really know how Paul Giamatti sounds.
Well, that's how he sounds when he's, like, shrieking.
Oh, jeez, they told me this bit at the end of The Amazing Spider-Man 2 was going to be my ticket to the big time. They killed the whole universe. God damn it, PG. They killed the whole universe. So anyways, The Iron Claw. This movie is going to get nominated for a shit ton of awards.
And it should win them.
It won't.
It won't.
It won't.
It, tragically, it won't. There's a few... if we were talking, like, Oscars, if it was to win one, I would say maybe cinematography. Because I thought it was... I thought this movie was shot fantastic. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Someone's getting a Golden Globe out of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it will rack those up. That was great.
I think that Jeremy Allen White has a case for best supporting actor.
Yeah, I do too. No, it'll be good. I'm actually almost interested in the Oscars this upcoming year.
Really?
Of this next one? Yeah, because I feel like there was some pretty good shit this year, and I usually just hate the Academy Awards. But
bold prediction: Cocaine Bear sweeps it.
Oh my god, Cocaine Bear, coming back from behind because it got released early in the year, so everyone forgot about it, myself included.
That's actually
which
true.
Which sounds like an episode coming up next time.
Yeah, which actually, this might actually come out after that episode, only because...
So if you're listening to that...
I want that episode to come out closer to the end of the year.
Time is a flat circle.
Then this has to come out now.
Well...
Anyways, shut it down. Let's do another one. Guys, we're going to do a top five movies and Tom's list of every movie
in
2023.
Wait, we got to give our out of tens.
Oh, I'm give this one an 8 out
of
10.
I gave this one an 8 out of 10.
I'm actually going to go like a 7.5.
I'm going to go 8.5.
Okay.
I think from a production standpoint, as well as a storytelling and like drama aspect, I think this was a very, very good film.
I do very much need to rewatch it.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I was high and drunk, but I still very much enjoyed this.
Hell yeah.
And I would recommend it to anyone who is a wrestling fan. I feel like you kind of have to watch it.
Yeah,
honestly.
Yeah.
And even if you're not, I think most people would still get it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, it portrays it. Anyone will understand this movie.
Yeah.
I've met people that are not wrestling fans that love the Mickey Rourke, the wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
I know lots of people that are not wrestling fans that still love that movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that's totally perfect, you know? But anyways, let's wrap this bad boy up. Let's shut it down.
Yeah.
All right. Bye.